Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are 15 minutes away from the dog of the game. It'll be a fun one because we got Nate, and you know he likes to do too much with dog of the game. So that'll be a good one at 12:15. Get in your dogs of the game. We will look at who we chose for dog of the game and then talk about who actually was our dog of the game. That is at 12:15 as we react to the news from Shams Charania and the Bulls. One of the teams that we've discussed, are they going to blow it up similar to the Raptors? The Bulls seem to be starting to break Zach LaVine, Vucevic. They are still very far apart on contract conversations between DeMar DeRozan and that front office. So I asked the question to the Beam regime, to the Kingdom, to Kings fans all over the world. After the Kings are rocking and rolling the way they are, starting to hit their stride, about to head to L.A. We'll see if LeBron will be playing tomorrow. We got that coverage for you, as we do all games.
Oh, yeah.
Zach LaVine, does it move you, Chris Watkins?
I'm willing to listen, is what I would say. I mean, Zach's kind of one of those guys who I think undeniably has an incredible amount of talent. It's just, I don't think we've seen Zach LaVine really in a winning situation, and so that's kind of the question with him is, you know, if he were to be thrown into this Kings situation, what would his role be? And right. And really what, you know, how much more limiting is what he would be asked to do be when it comes to a value proposition? Like, if you're changing Zach LaVine from going from this green light scorer, a guy who's getting 26 to 28 points per game, and then it's like, okay, we actually just kind of need you to be 20 points per game and maybe a backup playmaker when De'Aaron's not out there. Mm-hmm. How good is he at that? And does that change the calculus of your team, to me, is what's most important when you're thinking of giving up assets for a guy of the quality of Zach LaVine? Because frankly, you know, the Bulls, even if they're both open to working out a trade, the Bulls aren't going to just give away Zach LaVine for Harrison Barnes and some peanuts.
No, and I don't know that. Well, and here's the thing. I think Harrison Barnes, because of that signing, I'm here on the ESPN trade machine. They can't
do
anything until
December, I think.
Right, December or January. So he's not that. And Zach LaVine, we can basically just kiss this goodbye as far as Harrison Barnes is concerned, because Zach LaVine is not going to be around. They're not going to, if they're announcing this now or it broke now,
right,
Zach LaVine will be on a different team by the time Harrison Barnes is able to be traded.
I would imagine so.
So a lot of this is a moot point, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So now the question is, out of who is able to be traded right now, you look at a Davion Mitchell, you look at a Malik Monk, you look at a Kevin Huerter. And, yeah, you'd have to also look at a Keegan Murray.
Probably some unfortunate combination of them all.
Right. And what is it that the Bulls want, and what is it that Zach LaVine wants? Zach LaVine, he might want to be the guy.
Right.
I don't know where he is in his career and how he feels. If he thinks he can be a 1B, to put it nicely, put a different bit of marketing on it, instead of being the Robin, hey, you're 1B to De'Aaron's 1A. It's his team. He's been here. Maybe he's down for that. But I don't think, I mean, especially now, like, there's no way, and this is what a lot of fans do, not just Kings fans, just basketball fans in general. Everybody, I think, would do Kevin Huerter and Davion Mitchell for Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Everybody besides the Bulls.
Right. I don't know if that money works out either. I mean, that's kind of the tough thing with, especially for the Kings, if they want to move for Zach LaVine, is I think Zach LaVine makes $26 million a year.
That wouldn't even work. You'd have to bring in somebody else.
And so that's why it's kind of unfortunate that they can't put Harrison into those deals until December 29th, I believe, is the day. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to kind of hamstring them from entering into that kind of conversation unless they get a third team involved. Because LaVine, frankly, just makes too much money. I don't think they would be able to fit him into the cap. And thinking about places for LaVine to go, how about a place in a situation we were talking about a little bit yesterday for a guy that we were talking about yesterday, a team that makes a lot of sense for Zach LaVine, and I hate to say it, Golden State.
Mm.
Now, you're talking about Andrew Wiggins and the struggles he has.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the things that they want from Wiggins is what Zach LaVine could definitely provide them. And, you know, Wiggins is also one of those guys, former number one pick.
Right.
You know, you can convince yourself of the talent and the situation changing. And, you know, Chicago, like you said, what are they trying to do? If they're moving on from Zach LaVine,
right,
winning is not their goal. And I think, you know, we talked about the comparisons of them yesterday. I think a guy who's 3 years younger than Harrison Barnes and has the pedigree that Andrew Wiggins has, can't forget, NBA champion. That's the first thing they're going to put when Andrew Wiggins is traded, is NBA champion Andrew Wiggins. He's a guy who's been in situations before that you could convince yourself, okay, maybe new scenery, new situation. He can take everything he's learned and bring it into this new refreshed environment where there's not any expectations on him at all. Golden State kind of makes a lot of sense for a guy like Zach LaVine.
Yeah, the idea, and I know when you think of Golden State, you think of the free-flowing offense. We're just going to pass the ball around to all these different shooters, but you need somebody to create.
Well, you also need someone to be a shooter.
Well, that's also true.
If the Warriors want to be the team that they've been, they need guys who make
right,
shots.
Right, and Golden State is dealing with Klay Thompson supposed to be your number two. And that just hasn't worked out. And I was actually talking to Anthony Slater yesterday. We go way back, humble brag right there. So Anthony Slater and I were chatting, and he said, well, Klay kind of did this last year where he started out slow, and then he led the league in shooting percentage for the next 2 months, and then he disappeared in the playoffs. Yeah, they were out after the first round. They made it past the first round, barely, by the Steph Curry of their teeth.
Yep.
And then, you know, I guess fairly competitive against the Lakers in a Laker team that got swept by the Nuggets.
Yep.
So if you do the math that way, it doesn't seem like the Warriors are very close.
Right.
I don't know what that looks like, but I do think that you make a good point because Andrew Wiggins, it just hasn't been there. To bring this back to the Kings, I got a fun one for you.
Ooh, let's do it.
So nothing was working on the trade generator besides I had to throw Keegan in there.
That's
right. And I didn't throw, I guess I could remove Keegan and put Malik Monk. I could try that too. But right now, I have this. Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Davion. Chris Duarte.
Davion
Mitchell.
Yo, tomorrow, we're past
I would say D. Mitchell.
Yeah, there you go. D. Mitch
and Chris Duarte.
That's a lot.
For Zach LaVine.
Okay.
Trade is successful.
Oh, that's it. Oh, we're just getting Zach LaVine
back. No, it gets
back.
Better. Okay. It gets better. With this trade, you have increased this team's projected wins by one.
The Kings, that is.
The Kings.
Yeah, I mean, that's just giving up way too much. There's just no way that Monty McNair would ever even entertain that. I think that they're hoping that Keegan Murray himself is better than what Zach LaVine. And that's a really high bar to try and reach. But I think that, you know, if they were to rub a crystal ball and say, what's your ideal outcome for Keegan Murray? I would say it's probably a guy scoring potential wise who's that of Zach LaVine. So
right here, I swapped out Malik Monk and Keegan Murray. So Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte for Zach LaVine.
Okay.
With this trade as the Bulls, you have increased your wins by four. As the Kings, you have decreased your wins by four.
Yeah, you're getting rid of all of your shooting guards at that point, and then Davion as well, who's at the moment, I mean, I don't really consider Keon like a true backup point guard, but you lose your backup point guard at that point.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. And then you're also losing Malik as well. You're probably then not re-signing Malik, obviously, in the offseason. I just think that trades like that, and I think ultimately this is going to be the problem with the Kings trying to find this third star, whether it be OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, or Zach LaVine, is you're not going to want to get rid of Keegan Murray, and you probably aren't going to want to get rid of Malik Monk, and that's just going to limit you. And that's why, you know, I think when I see Zach LaVine and the Bulls are open to trade discussions, I don't really care about that. I care more about the fact of what that symbolizes, that clearly Chicago has given up on this season, and it sounds to me like it's a fire sale over there. And I'm looking at guys like Alex Caruso. I don't think they would want to move on from someone like Patrick Williams, but I'm looking at that guy
as
well.
I mean, he's been not good this
year. Yeah, and I would take a look at all of those guys, all the fringe guys, because those guys are just a lot more attainable. You can maybe do a Chris Duarte and, you know, I don't know. You could just risk a lot less in terms of giving up. Maybe Colby Jones is attached with Chris Duarte, and you can get one of those fringe guys. Or, you know, I think even last year, Alex Caruso was being thrown around for a late first-round pick. You might not even need to get rid of a player. So when I hear that the Bulls are looking to sell Zach LaVine, my eyes get bigger thinking of, okay, how do we poach some of those other guys that – they just don't need if they're not looking to compete right now.
Yeah, and the reason we do this isn't because I think Chris wants Zach LaVine or I want Zach LaVine on the Kings. It's because the conversation is going to come up.
Exactly.
So before you even fire up your trade generator, we're just going to do it for you. Ultimately, the issue is this. For a team that is blowing up, Zach LaVine makes $40 million this year.
Oh, no.
Next year, he makes $43 million.
That feels like too much.
The year after that, he makes $45 million,
okay.
And the year after that, he has a player option. That is the year 26-27. He has a player option to opt in to $48.9 million.
That feels like a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That might even be more than what De'Aaron is slated to make, if not like right on par with what De'Aaron's trying to make. And that's another problem with bringing in Zach LaVine is with those dollar figures as well comes a level of expectation.
To be your 1B?
Yeah. And that's where, again, it comes to I just haven't seen Zach LaVine thrive in a situation like that. He hasn't really been put in a situation like that, but do you trust – it's just a really big bet on Zach LaVine for whoever decides to ultimately bite that bullet and bring him in. I think that it's a really scary proposition, and I feel like if you're in a situation like Golden State where you have some built-in cachet, or unless you're just completely trying to rebuild everything and you don't really care about how it affects the team, I just don't see how a team like Sacramento would be in on Zach LaVine.
Right? No, a two-time All-Star. Sometimes we talk on this show about Monopoly money. That's what it seems like to me. Got to get to a break. $48 million. For a couple 360 dunks and three heater games where he scores 40 points. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Got to get to a break. What we can do is dog of the game. Next at 12:15 coming up. Get your dogs ready. Siles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Who let the dogs out?
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, it's about that time. Your dog of the game. We've been waiting. Get him in. We're talking a little bit of trade generator. Let's just pipe down with all that.
Yeah, let's
916 here on the text line. I'm going to say the same thing I've said for the last year. If it's a trade that Monty makes, I will trust it fully. No matter who it is, he's earned it. I appreciate that, 916. To the 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Keep those texts rolling in and keep those calls rolling in as we talk about your dogs. Let us know who is your dog of the game. Jill Adge on Twitter, very good follow, loves the Kings. Jill Adge says, the Zach LaVine news makes me more interested in the names, not named Zach LaVine, which is what you said as well, Chris.
Absolutely.
And that is a great, great thought because it's just too much money. And I don't even know if I realized it was that much money, but we're talking about close to $50 million for a guy who you just aren't sure what exactly he is. So we will close the trade generator for now. And I think a lot of people don't realize that Harrison Barnes cannot be traded right now. So let's just pause on that and enjoy the Kings' victory. There will be plenty of times where it comes up again.
Yep.
But you got to keep in mind the logistics of all this. As we get to our dogs of the game, Nate, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Yeah.
You want the hit?
Yeah, okay. We need it.
Hitmaker.
We need it. There we go. Here on the 916, I got to go, Kevin Huerter. Last game, he got heated up.
Come on.
And this game, he's keeping it going. Shout out to the 916, Kevin Huerter. So yesterday, I had Harrison Barnes.
Yep.
Ooh. Not the best one for me. Not the best guess, but I'm willing to wear it. Mm-hmm. I hit on Keegan, so you can't hit all the time. But you, sir, your dog of the game.
Yeah, mine.
Outstanding choice.
You know, pick him like how I see him. You know, it's he was due. I think that's more what it was. You saw him kind of start to feel himself a little in that game on Friday. I don't know, man. Something about Kevin Herter, once he gets rolling, man, it just feels like the ball goes in so easy for him. And you could tell. You could just tell. I mean, that last three he hit, the very last one he hit, by that time his confidence was sky high. And, yeah, I mean, it really – I think there was a texter earlier who said it felt like the building – like the roof was going to come off the building.
Yeah.
It gets like that. When Kevin and Keegan get going, but really it feels like when Kevin gets going –
yeah.
The stadium just responds so differently, and you can look no further than that Utah game winner last year. Kevin was just on one yesterday.
Well,
Kayvon,
good on you, Chris. Great pick. Let's go to the phone lines. David wants to talk about his dog in the game. What's up, David? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
What you got for us?
For me, it's Sabonis. After he pulled that three-pointer and flashed it like nothing, and then he broke Keon Ellis' hand after that and-one drop. Once he gets the energy going, for the big man, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He had to have
great
a huge
call,
game
David.
Last night.
Great
absolutely.
Call. Yeah. As we talk about your dogs of the game,
poor
Jess
Keon.
Still wants DMX. Jess, we'll get you DMX.
Get yeah, we'll get there.
We can't. They're winning right now, Jess, on the YouTube chat. They're winning right now. Get into your dogs of the game. Nate, who's your dog?
Well, I don't know if this is a cop-out, so I'll have two answers here, but can Mike Brown be my dog of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say so.
That's
if he can doable? Be the if he can be the defensive player of the game, he can definitely be the dog of the game.
Yeah, so he's my dog of the game, but my backup would have been Sasha just because of the way he just lets it fly, man.
Dude,
he gets the
crazy.
Ball, he has no hesitation,
yeah.
He's got the arrow shot. I just figured,
yeah.
You know, he needs some love for the way he's shooting. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love
psychopath,
that.
Dude.
I love
he
that.
He pulls just
so quick.
No hesitation.
Yeah. So quick.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you love people that take things very literally. Right, so Mike Brown has talked a lot about, I want you guys to shoot when it's time to shoot.
Yep.
Sasha said, say less.
Say less.
Say less. I'm letting that thing fly whenever I get an opportunity. So, Nate, that's
love
a great
that
pick by you. Chris doesn't need to pick a new one because you hit on your nose on the head. I went with Harrison Barnes. It didn't work out for me. I wanted to switch some things up, so... It is what it is, but I'm going to have to go with, and you talk about cop-outs, but I mean, if it can't be Keegan, I got to go De'Aaron.
Come on.
Because De'Aaron came back, and we talked here on this program about would he have a limited minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And very early in the game, you lean over to me, you say, De'Aaron's playing a lot, right? There were no limits
no.
on his minutes. He wanted to be out there. It really looked like he didn't miss a beat. As we're moving up from the Bay Area, I'm telling my wife about the Kings now and, hey, getting to learn the team and all that stuff. And I said, hey, watch out for De'Aaron because I was at the game. She's watching. I said, watch out for De'Aaron. He's quick. He's left-handed. She's like, that sounds like somebody right up your alley. I said, I know. He's not. I was number four back in the day. He's number five. He's just one off, right? So love De'Aaron. And I get a text from her saying, yeah, De'Aaron Fox is pretty darn good. I
that
said,
guy.
Welcome.
That guy.
Welcome. And got a nice beam and his return. So De'Aaron Fox has got to be my dog of the game.
It's a good pick. It's a really good pick. I mean, was last night the first night that we saw the official, like, De'Aaron Fox superstar? I mean, because, you know, there was the conversation heading into the season, like, is this guy a superstar? What level's he at? And, you know, I think rightfully so. Even I'll gladly admit that I didn't think he was at that superstar level yet, but after watching how this team struggled without him and then just immediately going to their best performance of the season the day he comes back, we might be living in a new era right here.
Yeah, the one thing in the arena, they started the MVP chant.
They did.
Yeah.
And he missed the free throw.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about his post-game comments about not commenting on his ankle? Did you...
He
said, I can't tell you guys.
Yeah,
He doesn't want other teams to know, right? But it's an ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, an ankle
jumping,
is an ankle. Right.
Starting, stopping. I think
right.
stopping's the bigger issue,
yeah.
I had to guess.
Yeah, so good on him and for his return. And, yeah, a little bit of gamesmanship as they head to L.A., the bitter rivals in L.A. So nice to have him back from the 916. My dog Keon Ellis got more of a role on the squad and is running with it. How could you forget Keon? Ellis Island. Come on. As we're calling it, Ellis Island. You put a guy on Ellis Island, and you might not get very much offensive production from them for the rest of the evening. Good on the 916. That is great stuff. Gotta love the dog segment, the dog of the game. I was really trying to pick between De'Aaron and Herter, but Herter got love last game when he balled out. And now, you know, part of it is, hey, we want to expect these things. So Herter, a 20-piece, shot very well. But that's kind of what the Kings are going to need from you. So I can't give you a dog for that.
For sure.
Because that's what we're starting to expect from you moving forward.
Can I get a quick number? I had my guy, our guy, Frankie Cardicelli, look this up for me before today's show. The amount of times, this is, last night was the third time this season, only the third time this season, I should say, that a team had four players all score above 20 points. The other example was opening night, the Sixers did it. They had Embiid, Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, Kelly Oubre all drop 20. The New Orleans Pelicans did it a couple weeks ago against the Pistons. Herb Jones, CJ McCollum, Jonas Valanciunas, and Matt Ryan, shout out Matt Ryan, the basketball version, had 20. And then last night, De'Aaron, Keegan, Kevin, and Sabonis all finished with over 20 points. Only the third time that's happened this year.
Wow. If you're scoring like that and defending, you're going to be very hard to beat. But we asked the question as we get to break, is it repeatable? Does it have to be? We will also discuss, I know a lot of people miss him and feel from him, the road back for Davion Mitchell. Do you need him at this point? We didn't throw him in any trade generators, right? Mike Brown talked about how he can come back. Keon Ellis doing a good job. I think Davion didn't play that bad. I know some of the numbers look different, but sometimes life is about timing, and Keon Ellis is just, you know, I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We have the Truck Smart Drive of the Game coming up at 1. Get your opinions in on that one as we talk all things Kings, Niners, you know, the good stuff. From the 916 on the text line, talking about our dogs, our dog picks. I picked Harrison Barnes to be a dog last night. Basically, the one starter who was not only didn't go double digits, one starter that didn't score 20 points, as Chris said, it has only happened, what, three times this season. So it doesn't happen a lot. And 916 says, Stiles, you get a free pass for picking Harrison Barnes. You don't know no better. LOL from Nick. Nick! Come on, man. I'm trying to will him. He's done it before, but thank you for the text. We do have a contest that we want to get to for the listeners. Okay, Sammy Hagar, one pair of tickets to see Sammy Hagar at Toyota Amphitheater August 16th, 2024. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Sammy Hagar and friends at Toyota Amphitheater August 16th. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. But we are giving away tickets right now. Hop on the phone lines. If you are, I'll just go with my favorite number, the fourth caller.
There we go.
You will get a pair of tickets to see Sammy Hagar. We are making Nate earn his paycheck. Call right now and he will take care of you behind the booth. So make that happen right now as we continue to break down all things Kings. And the question is, with some of the numbers that you just threw out, I think the answer is obvious, Chris. Is last night repeatable, and does it have to be? Because it's not repeatable often.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to do that 15 times this season or anything like that. Definitely not 45 times if that's how they want to win 50 games. But it's still, again, it's a roadmap or a potential road to victory, and it doesn't have to be the perfect round number that is 20 plus. But I think the bigger point and the bigger thing that the Kings need to achieve is ultimate balance. Like, it's okay if Sabonis ends up with 17 points and Herter gets 16, but Fox has 25 and Keegan has 21, but Malik is contributing 15 and Sasha's contributing 12. It's like what we talked about earlier with what De'Aaron said after the game. This team is not like Cleveland or, frankly, even like OKC, where those two guys or those two teams are so reliant on, we need Shea to get 30-plus. We need Donovan Mitchell to get 30-plus. The Kings, again, last season they had six or seven different guys finish a game with 30-plus points. This is another example of just having so many different weapons and guys who are capable of just having it be their night on a given night. That's what's repeatable to me is the balance of the scoring. The fact that it can be, you know, if Sasha only plays 17 minutes last night, if he plays 25, does he get up to 20 points? Does he get 18 points? The way he's shooting right now, Malik was almost coasting last night, especially after the amount of weight that was on his shoulders when De'Aaron was out. Last night must have felt like he was a walk in the park or something, and he finishes with a smooth 13 points, 4 assists, 5 boards. To me, the repeatable thing from last night is just spreading the wealth and not having it be on anybody's shoulder for at least the first three quarters for the scoring load to be on them. I think just the diversity of how they got their buckets. And, oh yeah, Harrison Barnes is also capable of scoring more than 4 points. So getting him involved as well, I just think that the thing that's most repeatable is the spreading of the points.
Yeah, that's a great call. And yeah, it doesn't have to be at that clip. Right. But just the fact that it's always going to be somebody in the depth that we talked about.
They scored 132, they can get to 120 and still win.
Right, right. Real quick, Sammy Hagar, I know a lot of you have been listening to this station for a very long time or on the YouTube channel. You can see the number, but if not, it is 916-339-1140. Just wanted to make sure I got that out there.
Nah.
I know a lot of you do have it memorized, but in case you didn't, so get in there. Like we said, we're trying to make Nate earn his paycheck, so get in there, get those calls, and see Sammy Hagar, pair of tickets August 16th, 2024. And you make a great point. In the Sasha, this is exactly how it was drawn up. The Sasha Vezenkovs of the world, right? And not right now, but the Chris Duartes of the world. These guys to come in and just give you a spell, right? That backup running back that I think I got terrible running backs on my fantasy football, so that's what I'm running out there right now. But those backup running backs that just give a break to your main guy and say, hey, we're okay. We can make it through. We can take care of this. So you bring up a great point. And the problem that we had been seeing lately is that it wasn't about the guys on the bench. It was about the starters.
Right.
And it was about the issue of, oh my goodness, Kevin Herter, is he going to show up for us? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, Keegan Murray, is he going to show up for us? Can we get one of them? Because you know at this point, and you know what? I know you've been very headstrong on Domantas Sabonis, on your guy Domas.
Come on.
And I understand why.
Almost back-to-back triple-doubles.
Because you do forget about it. Mm-hmm. You do forget about it, and you expect it, right? And his expectations, especially for this team, are so high that you don't really sit there and get to enjoy it. As we've said, it's hard, and I know you did a couple days ago, to make him the dog of the game. Because if he's not the dog of the game, that's an L.
Yeah.
That's an L, right? That is an L.
Easy
so,
L.
You know, between Domas and De'Aaron, you know you have those guys in some capacity every single day. The question is, who else are you going to be able to have to get things done, right? Mm-hmm. And you needed Keegan, and you needed Kevin Herter, and something from Harrison Barnes, and you're starting to see that. Then you got the sprinkles on top of the sundae with Sasha Vezenkov and these guys coming off the bench. And Malik Monk, of course. Malik doesn't even feel like sprinkles. He feels like really the
it's egg. It's a second dessert. It's like getting a brownie on
the
side
part of it,
as well.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You need part of it. So I think is the percentage repeatable? No. Is getting this amount of production and being around that 115, 130 is a little crazy.
130 is insane.
The 115 to 120 range and defending like this, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you could look at the Cavalier scoring and say, what? But they put up 120. You can't tell me they play good defense when they allow 120. But this is, we saw this a lot last year. This is part of what's baked in with when you're going to score at the amount that the Kings do is, you know, you're going to allow a ton of extra possessions as well. And, you know, other teams, you know, they're going to try and keep up. And a lot of that is last minute scoring. A lot of it is desperation scoring as well. I think the Kings could have won this game 120 to 110 even. I think that the defense was there, and I wouldn't use the ultimate final score as the barometer for how well this team defended. I think definitely this team could have scored 120 last night, and still they played defense well enough to where I think they could have gotten the result, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, get into a break soon, but when we get back, we're going to talk about how they stack up in the West, because the question is not necessarily a game like this. If you knock off, right, I don't know, from the 130, if you drop it down to 120,
yeah.
But with that defense, how many teams in the West does that beat? A lot.
Yeah. A lot of teams can't score like that.
No.
They just can't. A lot of teams just don't have the overall depth, and that it helped them a lot last year. I mean, scoring 120 is pretty much, like, that was the number that the Kings looked to get to pretty much all of last year, and when they scored over 120, they would win exponentially a bigger amount of their game, so... That's definitely the number they're looking for. It's just, you know, yeah, if 130 feels extra, like that's when they're really going. But if this team can just continue to put up this level of production, they're going to be just as good as they were last year. I don't know what record-wise exactly where that's going to fall, but they'll find an incredible amount of success if they can still replicate the offense that they had last year.
And I think people are figuring out their roles, and you still have somebody, and I'm sure he'll take a trip back to the G League at some point, but somebody like a Keon Ellis, who we're sitting there saying, just shoot the first one. He's starting to get a little bit more comfortable. Yep. Everybody in the arena knows you just need to get something from him offensively, and they're really happy for him and what he's doing defensively. So it's almost similar to how people sounded when Keegan was missing shots and Kevin Huerter was missing shots. Everybody, you can hear the crowd trying to will those shots for Keon in, and they just haven't fallen for him yet. But he did have that really nice move where he drove and then hit. It wasn't a reverse, but he stopped. He did a pivot foot, and then he got to the cup. So if Keon can unlock some of his bag, and again, we talk about the road back for Davion Mitchell, you can't have both, right? You just can't exist with both, because you need something offensively. And if you're sacrificing that with Keon or sacrificing it with Davion, it's going to be tough. You can't double down on both. And it's just, I mean, if you want to just go straight clamper lineup, right? And just clamps line up and just have...
Right. Shots just aren't falling and you're like, okay, there's no way.
Let's just hold him under 90, right? You would go Davion,
Keon, Kessler.
Uh-huh.
I guess Keegan with how well he's defended. And then you throw... I'm throwing Alex Len out there. No update yet on Alex Len.
Yeah, no update yet. I know a lot of you have been asking on the text line and the YouTube chat and the calls, but no update on Alex Len yet. Hopefully he gets back out there. Didn't look great. Looked like a legit ankle. Yeah. I don't know what it is about these ankle sprains here with the Kings.
It seems
like everybody is, you know, having to deal with it, but they'll power through. And we got to get to a break. When we get back, how do the Kings stack up in the West? We'll take a trip around the Western Conference between 9 and 11 games in to the season. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Truck Smart Drive of the Week coming up here 15 minutes at 1 o'clock. We will want your thoughts on that as well. After that, we will be breaking down the road back for Davion Mitchell and what he can do to get back in the rotation. And we ask the question to the audience, if you want Davion Mitchell back in the rotation, 916-339-1140. And thank you to everybody who participated in the Sammy Hagar contest. We have a winner, so thank you to that winner. Congrats to you. Enjoy your time there in August. And Nate is sweating profusely now because we made him answer some phone calls, so thank you for that. As we break down the West, and if you haven't heard the news yet, Zach LaVine of the Bulls is essentially being shopped around per Shams Charania. A lot of people are asking questions about the Bulls. Zach LaVine makes a ton of money. Okay, so what you should know, things to know if you are a Kings fan and you've thought about what trades should the Kings be interested in, or if you've had any in your mind. Number one, Zach LaVine makes an absurd amount of money.
Yep.
He's making $40 million this year, and it will only go up as his contract goes into the future. $40 million this year, $43 million next year, $45 million. That's basically $46 million. It's $45.9 million in 25-26. 40 and 26-27, a player option for 48.9. In 26-27. So as they say on Shark Tank, shout out Mark Cuban, even though we don't like the Mavs. For these reasons, yeah, I'm out. Do you watch Shark Tank, by the way?
I do, of course. Yeah.
Who's your favorite shark?
Of course, Mark. Mark's great.
Mark is my favorite, but I also like Damon. And I like Lori.
Yeah, I respect FUBU for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I cannot believe that. Did he make most of his money off of FUBU?
I don't know, but I know that's what he used to. He's to the point now where his list is so long, he doesn't even say FUBU anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, you know, when you change your resume and you have to get rid of your old jobs.
My Pizza Hut job no longer is really relevant for me applying for state jobs or whatever.
Is Mr. Beautiful or Mr. Wonderful still on that show?
I believe so. I believe he is the show.
Yeah, and then they always have a guest. And that's what we were talking about, because Alex Rodriguez, his return back to good graces and great PR team. Alex Rodriguez was a shark, or is a shark, fairly often on Shark Tank.
I know Kevin Hart was one too, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I need stats on the sharks.
Yeah,
I'm like, what's your net worth? Like, how much are you willing to invest here? Like,
you're
what's
one of those guys.
You're
one of those guys.
With?
You want a specific shark.
Yes.
Did you see?
Yeah.
And
1,000% I want a specific shark.
I think Kings fans will appreciate this, because did anybody see the Shark Tank episode where these guys had air fresheners, right?
Okay.
There were two dudes from the Bay Area. They had air fresheners, right?
I'm out.
But they were NBA-branded air fresheners.
I've seen the
So they were
this,
Warrior
yeah.
fans, and they thought it would be funny to give Mark Cuban Warrior fan air fresheners. And everybody thought it was funny. They thought it was a good joke. Mark Cuban,
straight face
says, this is the dumbest marketing I've ever seen. You know who I'm a fan of, or you know who I'm part owner of. So for you guys to do this, I don't find it funny at all. Dumbest marketing I've been a part of. For these reasons, I'm out. Before they even said anything.
Yeah.
It feels staged. That feels staged. It felt a little staged.
No.
I don't think so.
They were legitimately surprised to me, but I might be naive.
I don't know if staged is the right word, but I think he definitely saw the television opportunity for it and seized it. Like, was Mark Cuban actually that offended by it? Probably not, but he probably was like, the producers will love this.
Yeah, I don't need these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to buy into
Plus,
it a
from what
bit.
I understand, I think I heard Mark Cuban interviewed, and I guess those sessions are like, some of them go for like 2 hours.
Right.
And they just cut the best 3 minutes of it and turn it into TV.
Yeah,
but
that
like,
makes sense.
There's a lot of, you know, back and forth negotiations and nitty gritty things that you just don't really care about that they don't show. But that was definitely an iconic Shark Tank moment.
So out on Mark Cuban, out on those air fresheners.
Yeah.
And I think we as a Kings group out on Zach LaVine. He just makes way too much money. But we're not out on the Alex Caruso's of the world and some of the other guys that might be able to help out the Kings move forward as we take a trip around the Western Conference. And, you know, it really is wide open. Jamal Murray still dealing with that hamstring. He's out, they said, for at least the month. And let us not forget, he's also, great season last season. But some of these big injuries, you might not re-injure that. But we've seen it with Kevin Durant. I know Jamal Murray is younger than Kevin Durant. But you start to see things pile up and you think, okay, after a long season last season, winning the finals, that ability to repeat, where is that? The Nuggets have looked great. They've looked great, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't take a lot for one thing to take the wheels off, and they don't have some of these guys. Bruce Brown, they moved off of some of these guys, so very interesting to see what happens there. They are in first in the West. Another team we haven't talked about a lot, and the Kings will play them, I believe, on this upcoming road trip, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
How in the world does a team with Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving fly under the radar? I don't know. But they are 8-2, right? And maybe they're figuring some things out. That could be the team that nobody thought was going to do something. In terms of losses, the Timberwolves sitting at 7-2 at third in the West, the Houston Rockets, everybody's favorite team. 6-3, the Oklahoma City Thunder at 6-4, the Kings at 5-4. So the Kings in that sixth seed so early in the season, I know.
I'm just laughing because it really made me realize that for the rest of this season, every Sacramento Kings fan is going to be the biggest Houston Rocket fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to be able to explain away, no. Actually, I mean, Houston's like the four seed, so those two losses all the way back in, what was that? Was that even in November? Back in November. Yeah. Those actually don't look that bad in hindsight.
They don't. But they don't, though.
They actually don't.
But they don't,
we're going to need the Rockets to continue to be successful.
They don't, though. So in terms of wanting to maybe make a move and what you think, and it's so early, the Golden State Warriors sit at 6-5. The Los Angeles Lakers sit at 5-5. The Phoenix Suns off to a tough start. And speaking of the Phoenix Suns, first time the Big Three will play together tomorrow night?
Yeah. I mean, allegedly, yeah. I'll have to see it first. I mean, we've quite literally seen Kevin Durant get injured in warmups as he was about to make his Suns debut. So I'm going to hold off on saying that those guys are going to play at the same time on the same floor on the same team together just yet. Once the ball's officially tipped, then I'll say that that's going to happen.
But yeah,
that's the plan at the moment.
Well, and in the pre-show, I gave you an over-under for amount of games that the Big Three for the Suns will play together. You set it at 40.5.
Yeah, yeah. Even that feels like it could. It might be.
I have to go over, but I'm not confident.
All three of them is the tough. It's like two of three for sure. Maybe I'd say like 45 to 50 games, but all three. I mean, it hasn't even been, like, Kevin Durant's actually been the healthy one. The oldest one of them all has been the one that's been the most healthy. So I don't know how you're supposed to guess when any of those guys are supposed to be clicking at the same. And I'm not even talking about clicking. We're just talking about playing.
Yeah.
I have no idea how you can try and gauge that Suns situation. And we probably won't really get a great gauge on how good or how disappointing they are until probably like the All-Star break in February, just because I think it's going to be so much of, well, they look like this when all three play, but they look like this when two of them play and this when the other two play. And, you know, this is what they look like when one, and it's going to be a mess trying to figure out that team all year.
But this is exactly what we talked about, right? And if I'm not mistaken, and we're doing crosstalk today, I might have something for Kyle Draper, because if I'm not mistaken, he thought I was just trying to ingratiate myself in the Kings fan base when I said that the Kings could get the one seed. Mm-hmm. But everything is starting to play out exactly like how we thought, right? Mm-hmm. You have the Nuggets as the one seed right now.
Yep.
The surprises that I see, and it's still so early, surprises I see are the Mavericks, the Rockets, who I don't believe will hang around, the Thunder. I think we all thought they could get to a four seed, and the Timberwolves, who we were both high on, but a lot of people weren't, and the Kings in that sixth spot. You have the Warriors, who Steph is sitting out tonight, right? The Lakers
against
the Timberwolves. The Lakers, who LeBron just sat out, AD's sitting out, right? Then you have the Phoenix Suns, who, again, this is their first time playing the Big Three all together, and we're at the 11th game of the season for them. And then the Clippers.
I was hoping you weren't even going to mention the Clippers. I shouldn't,
but the Clippers are 3-6.
Losing to Memphis
They're a complete mess with James Harden. So this idea that the Kings can't hang around and sniff that one seed when the Denver is just trying to hang on.
You can argue the Kings are struggling right now, and they're the sixth seed.
So I think there's a lot of things. The question is, should they make any moves?
Right.
There are a couple glaring spots that we've seen, and now it looks like it's starting to get better. They're in a really tough spot money-wise. And again, to everybody who says, move Harrison Barnes. One more time. Because they just extended him, just for the same thing happened in Phoenix, right, when they couldn't move DeAndre Ayton, they cannot move Harrison for a certain amount of time until that December, January time frame. So just so you know. So I think the easiest thing is, as we get to a break here, 209 with maybe the text of the day, our defense will be even better when Trey comes back. Talking about Trey Lyles, that's what we haven't talked about, the return of Trey Lyles. So maybe it's addition without doing anything. Now we hope to get an update. We will have our Kings reporters in here the rest of the week tomorrow and all that good stuff to figure out the update on Trey Lyles. But maybe you stand pat because, again, we did the numbers in our little trade generator. Harrison can't move. You can't move Harrison.
Yeah.
You don't want to move Malik Monk.
Right.
You definitely don't want to move Keegan Murray.
No.
Maybe you're good with what you got and you just add Trey Lyles and you say, let's get to work. We'll be right back with our Truck Smart Drive of the Week and the road back. Speaking of trucks and roads, the road back for Davion Mitchell. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.